Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
If I even make it.
So what do you want to talk about?
I'll pose the question. I want your candid response.
Wow. This is real candid.
We're back in action. One and two. My main bitch, Clem, is back.
I'm your bottom
by
bitch.
By popular demand. You are not.
Doesn't that mean that I'm your main squeeze?
You could be a power bottom.
Isn't the bottom bitch, though, like the number one?
Yeah, it's number one, but I feel like maybe you're a power bottom.
Ooh.
I'll be your Nelly top.
Wow.
Welcome to Flapping Gaps with Anna and Tara. We have a kind of a revolving door of broads. We got Kristen Diaco last time and Carrie.
Yeah, I was traveling. How did that go?
It went really, really, really
well.
What
did you guys talk about? I haven't heard it yet.
You know what? Like, when you talk 5-6 hours a day,
it kind of all goes together.
Yeah, we definitely talked about. We didn't talk about the beauty shit anymore. I think we talked more about like marriage and soulmates and stuff. Terry is very like astrologically inclined, so I ask her a lot about. Almost said my zoology, but I'm a little bit tired, so words are hard. It's that definitely astrology is what I meant to
say.
But it went really well.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say we all had a little girl chat thread this weekend. I don't know how much we can disclose, but Krista got into a little boo boo accident.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. I was on that thread.
Yes, okay. You were.
Bless her heart. Is she not a gangster?
She's like the smallest, tiniest, most
coolest, beautiful, cool.
But like most susceptible to car accidents woman I've ever met.
Yeah, that's true. Hasn't she like gotten in like Ferrari wrecks?
Yes.
And
the rest of the Ferrari showed up before the cops did. Meaning like Dan and Jay.
Oh, I bet. I'm sure.
Everybody
I'm
in the
sure.
scene.
Yeah, the whole squad or the whole platoon.
Yeah, the whole family, the whole mob. Just kidding.
Pretty much.
No, so I'm happy to do the more the merrier. Like
sure.
If we can get all four of us, that'd be great.
That'd be great. They're cool. First of all, I think you and I are both very empowering to other women. A lot of women are haters. They want to tear women down, judge women. I love that you're not like that. And I love that they are not like that. They're both very successful.
Or at least we hide it well. I'll speak for myself.
I try to. I think I've the older you get, the more you actually get joy from seeing people live their best life.
Right.
You know,
or you can at least, go ahead.
Even if you don't know them, like I know that sounds corny, but I really do love to see people flourish. I really do.
I'm like, do I agree with that statement? I do if I like the person and we're close and stuff. I still feel, here's the thing that's been happening to me as I get older is the hate. I don't want to say hate, but whatever that, the rage that I feel in my heart, whether it be jealousy or envy, like the ugly emotions, anger, I go, this is a you problem. Like all the self-development, if I have any of those visceral reactions, I go, yeah, this isn't them. This is a you problem.
Well, at least you know that.
So I go, you know, because sometimes that will happen. I'll see something that evokes an ugly emotion. And I just go, yeah, this isn't them. This is you. Time to go back to the drawing board. Maybe say some more self-affirmations.
Yes.
Maybe do some meditation.
Yes.
Maybe go on
a
walk.
Have a gratitude journal.
Get some candles going.
Go outside. Have a gratitude journal. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy. Even like as silly as like a green light. I'm driving and a green light. I'm like, thank you for the green light. Like it's just constantly, I've programmed myself.
That's awesome.
Anna. It's been, it's a work in progress and you know, nothing's 100%, right? You're not a robot. So you still have those feelings, but it's just redirecting them in a positive way. Because if you hold on to anything negative, that's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not healthy. So once you get to that point, it's so liberating. And, you know, even if I don't care for somebody, I don't ever want anything bad to happen to them. That doesn't give me any satisfaction, like at all. I have no no revenge, none of that. I'm not wired like that at all. In fact, it's polar. I mean, it's a lot of it is just, you know, time and and developing yourself. I really work hard at that every day.
And like you said, it's really a practice. Like there's never going to be a set end.
It's not a destination. It's a journey.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's progress, not perfection with everything.
Yeah.
And I think once, though, you get to that place internally, then it's almost like the lens that you're looking through. I mean, if you lead with positivity and love, and I know this sounds corny as shit, especially for the Bubba Army and everyone listening. But once you choose to view through that lens, your life changes. And all these things, like, again, it's been, I'm really into self-development though. And I'm like cerebral. I love to read. I love knowledge. I love documentaries. I love all of that. And I love self-improvement books. I love business books. I've just always enjoyed that. Even as a kid, like I've always been wired like that. But once you really start like your journey, like good things start happening. So probably 15 years ago, I would say maybe longer, you know, I think probably in my late 20s, you start, especially in corporate America, you start meeting these people that are really successful and empowering. Mm-hmm. And you look at the one common denominator and they're all positive.
Yeah.
They all want to help others win. And then, you know, you start taking nuggets from, you know, I've had some really great bosses. I've had some really bad bosses. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of learning how I didn't want to be.
Right.
Not exactly knowing where I wanted to be, but knowing that I was tired of beating myself up.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't want to be critical of others. I grew up, you know, my father was very critical of everyone from the way they looked. You know, everything was, if you weren't perfect, then you were, you know.
Mm-hmm. He would let you know.
Yeah. And, you know, again, I don't hold any ill will towards him. I really have love for him and I want him to be happy. But, you know, growing up in that environment really taught me how I didn't want to be. And I knew that made people feel bad and it made me feel bad. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't empowering.
Right.
That wasn't a good place to be.
No.
Like it wasn't, to me, fulfilling at all. And I knew that as a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of learned from negativity and turned it into a positive.
I mean, that's really impressive because that's usually not the case.
Right.
You usually kind of imitate what you see at home. I know that for me, and it is happening at a rapid pace now, I am turning into my dad.
Well, is that a bad thing though? Because like, so my stepdad also played a big part in that.
Right.
He came into my life when I was 10 or 11 at a very, you know, defining moment for me. And it was sort of a pivotal change because he's so positive and, you know, very intelligent and he was so encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
So it was also kind of like the perfect, you know, timing.
Fit,
timing
yeah.
was paramount for me and it really worked out. But my being like him was something I wanted to strive to be.
Mm-hmm.
So is being like your dad a bad thing?
Well, here's the thing. I get my quirkiness from my dad. My dad's real, he's amazing. He's like the number one person in my life. He's always had my back. Let me say that first and foremost.
Yeah, because I thought you guys were really close.
Oh, yeah. I love my dad more than anything.
And when Lemmy did that interview, I thought your dad seemed cool as shit.
My dad is very cool. He's very knowledgeable. He's been through just a lot of shit. But I get my quirkiness from him. And that's
a good thing, though.
As Bubba would say, it's a triple-edged sword. So,
because that makes sense.
It makes me spunky, but also it makes me insane. And what happens is, like, my father has OCD undiagnosed, but everyone has, like, little, like, it's not like everybody wakes up, you know, and doesn't have a routine. It's like, how should I start my day? Should I, you know, go to work, brush my teeth? How do I do it? Obviously, we have a routine, but when it becomes to the point where it's like if something goes awry and it fucks up your whole day, like that's a problem. Like
right.
it shouldn't throw you off.
Right.
And my dad, especially as people get older and they live alone, they get really into the routine.
Set in their ways.
That like one thing that's out of place totally throws them off. They fucking lose their mind. And
is
I remember
that person?
Yeah. I think just with age people get more like that. But you know, after the divorce, and my dad was like this when he was still with my mom, but especially after he got divorced, you just kind of, you have your own apartment, your own place, exactly how you want it.
Did he ever remarry?
No.
Why? Did he ever date? Or
yes.
Have a girlfriend?
He actually, he had a girlfriend for 7 years. They just broke up like
2 months ago.
But he didn't have a girl. Oh, they didn't live together. They got divorced, though, when you were later in life.
I was 24. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So
did you know her? Did you like her?
Yeah. She was a very sweet woman.
What happened?
They just, I don't think that they were as compatible as they thought. I think it's like the way that I look at relationships sometimes is I'm looking for an exact shoe, right? I know some people who are like, I wear a 9.5 and they're just like, whatever 9.5 is, like, you're a 9.5, I'll wear you today. And they just kind of make it work. I'm looking for something a little bit more specific. I think at the time that my dad got with this woman, he was just looking for company. And they just kind of, like, nothing was really wrong. And she's a nice woman. But my dad's really quirky. And he is a bit more, I don't want to say codependent. She's way too independent to the point where it's almost a problem.
So
like, she could be like, I just want to do my own thing for a week and not see you. And my dad's like, what the fuck's the point of having a relationship? Like, fair point.
Okay.
So after her just kind of being, and I don't think she was meaning to be rude or anything. It's just, I don't think she's ever been married. And she's lived alone like her entire life. So she doesn't know what it's like. It's almost like not having sibling. Like you don't know how to share.
Right.
Where my dad was married for 30 years and just was like, okay, well, this is what you do when you're in a relationship. And again, just different lifestyles. But again, no ill will. Like they ended amicably. But I'm realizing that things that are a bit out of place now, or if things don't go exactly my way, I throw an internal fit. And I'm like, that's not a healthy trait. And my OCD is ramping up. And again, it's one of those things where it's like a wave.
The ebbs
where
it goes, and flows, right?
The ebbs and flows or whatever Bubba says, you know, the Bubba-isms. But sometimes the volume gets really turned up and then it'll come down and then I'll
be
like...
Do you have to literally talk yourself... So this is all an internal struggle. Yeah. Do you talk yourself off of a ledge and then you're like, okay, I'm going to make sense of this and calm myself down. I'm acting like my dad when he gets freaked out. Mm-hmm. Or is it like an episode where you physically and emotionally out, you know, like lash
I don't have like
out.
A tantrum or anything, but I do engage in rituals that are like make no sense. And
can you tell me?
Yes, checking my car light, like to make sure the lights are off, 50 times, like it's insane. Making sure the door is locked, making sure my room is closed because my roommate has cats and they've been known to scratch shit. So I always look under the bed to make sure they're not under my bed, and then I close the door and I make sure I can see two cats, and then I make sure I can see two cats, and then make sure I can see. It's
how many times do you do this?
I mean, till it feels right. If you talk to anybody with OCD. They'll probably
my husband.
Yeah, they'll tell you like there's just a certain point when it feels like it is done, it is completed, and it could be 2 times, it could be 40 times, it could be 400 times. And I've had OCD as long as I can remember. The first thing that happened where my parents wanted to take me to a shrink was when I was 6, and Bubby, which was my grandmother, she would like to kiss me on the cheek, but she gave very like wet kisses.
Ugh.
And I guess I've just always been a germaphobe. Both my parents are kind of freakish
too.
About it. And you learn, you see something, you see dad freaking the fuck out. You know, if there's a shoe on a chair and he's fucking scrubbing it down. I mean, I remember growing up, my dad would buy boxed cereal and like be putting it under water for like a second, like to wash
the
cardboard.
Box?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's just like what you like wash. I'm like, no, you don't fucking wash cardboard.
Yeah.
Just stuff that's a little.
I mean, I'm OCD when it comes to cleanliness. A bit like, so I'm not judging by any means, but I have, you know, if I can't sleep at night, if my house is dirty, mm-hmm. like if you come home from a vacation and it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I know I have a meeting at 8 o'clock and I can't miss it, I can't go to bed unless I'm fully unpacked, mm-hmm. unless everything's put away, unless everything is neat, like to the point where it's kind of a problem. I have the same thing with going, I will not go barefoot around.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have to wash my feet incessantly.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, I think, kind of screwed me up with that. Like, you come in from playing, wash your feet.
Yeah.
You can't have dirty feet.
Yep.
So now I'm almost
programmed. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, my family makes fun of me. It's like I have to wear that cleanliness is next to godliness. So
mm-hmm.
I have some of those. So I get what you're saying. In certain ways, but I want to know some other rituals. And then you said you feel like you're turning into your dad and you're having this internal struggle and that sometimes you're a hater, but then you don't want to be like that.
Oh, is my dad a hater? I mean, not anymore. I was more just talking about like the rituals, and if something is
if something's
out
of whack, do you freak out?
Yeah,
what's a trigger for you?
I mean, now everything, even just like when I'm going to eat dinner, because I'm like, well, because the more I learn. The more I learn about, like, because I've gotten into intermittent fasting, I'm like, yes. Okay, I can't be eating any, like, if I go to bed at 10, I can't eat past, like, 6 or 7. So if I go beyond that time, I start to freak out. I'm like, I'm not going to sleep well because I'm learning all the science, right? You're not going to digest. So I freak myself out to the point where I cannot be present at some point.
So you have paralysis through overanalysis.
Yes.
You already determined the end. The doom and gloom
right.
before it happens.
And I just go, Anna, you stressing out about it is worse than the bad digestion that you'll have
Without
in the middle of the
doubt.
Night. Just
you gotta
freaking,
let it go.
Just trying to
so
chill.
When you leave for work, and if you get to work and you're like, oh, I didn't close the door and the cat might be in there, can you not have a good show? Does stuff like that happen?
I've been better at compartmentalizing things, but I'm so thorough with my checking beforehand that I know that it is done. But yes, that will throw me off. For example, a couple weeks ago, I went out with some girlfriends and I parked my car. It was like right. It was like the Uber showed up and I parked my car in a place that was questionable. Like I could have gotten a ticket. I thought about it the whole day.
And you couldn't have fun.
And so I texted one of the girl's boyfriends and I just said, hey, can you check on my car? He ended up moving it. I didn't know that. So I was totally fine half the day. And it was fun. Everything was good. He moved my car. It was great. But I thought about
that
it.
Point.
Even drunk. Like, I was like, once I start drinking, I'll snap out of it. This fucking OCD brain would not shut off. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to let it go. You've got to somehow figure out a way that's going to work for you. Where you're able to enjoy life. Why paralyze yourself? Like
exactly. Because I'm either worried about something that happened and wish it was different or worrying about something in the future
what
and
does
not
worry
being present.
Do? What,
nothing. Right? And I know that. And
how does it serve you?
Not at all.
And does it change the outcome?
Nope.
So you gotta let it go.
I can't tell you how many times I've gone through that mantra in my head. Like, but then it's with OCD, it's not only obsessive compulsive behaviors, but it's also obsessive thoughts. So you get yourself in a loop.
Oh, of course.
And you can't get out of it until you feel like at least for me, it's the similar thing as with a ritual. You have to think about it until you feel like you've solved it. Like until you're done thinking about it. It's really hard to explain, sort of. It's definitely not healthy and it's getting worse. And I don't know if it's like, I feel like it wasn't as bad when I was like in a relationship because then there's some things that are just, you have to
concede,
compromise with
right.
other people and you can't have everything your way exactly the way you want it when you want to do it. And
do you think maybe
that was healthy.
But do you think maybe since, think about what you just said, the OCD is getting worse. Do you think that could be prohibiting you from being in a relationship with somebody? Because
certainly, because now it's like I'm...
Manscaped offers the best in precision-engineered tools for men's below-the-waist grooming. They just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BUBBA at manscaped.com. Manscaped engineered the ultimate groin and body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality and an incredibly comfortable grooming experience. The Lawnmower 4.0 features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. It is a multifunction on-off switch with a travel lock. Use the 4000K LED spotlight when you need to get a more precise shave or maybe some of those dark areas. Customize your trim through additional guard lengths, sizes 1 through 4. Enhance your confidence with Manscaped's new Lawnmower 4.0. Get 20% off your order and free shipping with code BUBBA at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com with code BUBBA at checkout. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Comfortable with the way the things are, even though it's stressful, but it's the devil I know, right? And so...
But you're literally stunting your growth.
Yeah, I know.
And then your body follows your mind.
Yeah.
So if you start playing all of these games in your head
mm-hmm.
and, you know, this, oh my God, my car, I'm not, you know, this, the worst case, you always go to that worst case scenario.
It's my favorite game to play. But here's the thing, and I have such good insight that I'll even be like, Anna, you don't live in fucking Afghanistan. Like,
right.
That's,
what's the
that's,
worst thing
you
that
can
happen?
Walk. Like, so what? You have to pay $40. Like, who cares? And then I go, you're right, you're right. And then I'll be fine for like an hour and then it'll come back. I'm like, what the fuck?
So what, when you say it's getting worse, are there certain areas where it's getting worse, or just in general, overall?
Across the board.
Okay.
I think just with time management, with sleep, I'll try to get to bed a little bit earlier. And I'm like, I could have gone to bed 20 minutes ago, but I didn't. So then I just think about, I'm like, why didn't you go? Then I'll punish myself. But then I stay up later and then I get mad that it's just this never ending
cycle.
It is so counterproductive. So it's something that I'm trying to work on and be present and practice mantras. And I listen to a lot of Mel Robbins. I don't
Good.
Know if you know,
yes.
I love her.
Yes. You should download the app Calm.
I've heard about
it's
that.
It's amazing. It really is.
Really?
It's a game changer.
It helps.
I meditate every day, and I meditate with the app Calm.
Okay.
And it has different meditation practices, and you know what? How are you feeling? If you're feeling anxious, it will guide you into different.
Okay.
You know,
that is definitely getting done, because I've heard you're now the second person to mention it.
It's great.
Okay.
I recommended it to my mom.
You and Tarek turned me on to Dave Asprey. Guess mm-hmm. who's his number one fan now?
You.
Me.
Number two, maybe, or three.
Yeah.
Well, we can all share that, right? We don't have to stress over it.
I fucking love that guy.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah. So that's just kind of the mental struggle. But it's one of those things. And I remember when the first time I got help for it, I was 20 years old, about 20 years old. And I remember crying to a counselor. I'd never seen a therapist or anything before. And I just said, like, I've been plagued with this since I can remember. And the thing that scared me is I was always kind of a little offbeat. And I remember crying to her and saying, I want this to be gone, but it's so interwoven with my personality. I don't know where the OCD ends and my personality begins. So I thought, if I got rid of my OCD completely, which you never really do.
No.
But if I did,
you deal with it.
I thought that it would take away, like, that was part of my, like, I didn't know what my personality
At
was.
At 20, you were thinking this.
Yeah, because when it's like a psychological thing, if you're anxious or depressed or OCD, and I was always kind of quirky and kind of funny and silly and stuff like that. So I just thought that if I got rid of the OCD, that I was also upset because I didn't want to lose my spunkiness. So I didn't know, because it's literally like locked like this, you know?
In your eyes it is, but you're a prisoner. Mm-hmm. You're literally holding yourself prisoner. First of all, you're always going to be funny. You're very intelligent. So that's ingrained. You can't you can't not be funny.
Right. And
if you give yourself a break, you can't not be funny if you allow yourself to be happy and let your guard down and not worry. Like, worry will kill you.
Yes.
It serves absolutely zero purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you let that go, I think if anything, your intelligence and your, you know, your sense of humor, I think all of that would be actually amplified in a good way, because you're able
to
breathe.
Yeah.
And listen, nothing is sexier than confidence. And when you can let that, you know, that mental gymnastics you're playing with yourself, when you can let that go and just be present, and it's so freeing.
Yeah.
You stop, you know, giving a fuck what people think.
Mm-hmm.
You start enjoying yourself. You give yourself permission to be human. You don't beat yourself up over if the cat got in the room. What's the worst thing that could happen? He scratches a comforter or whatever. Like, once you start thinking, or once you meet people that have real world problems, like, I'll give you, here's something, get stressed out over work or something stupid. You know, I'm human. I'll still have these thoughts. And then I get a call from my college best friend, who's a physical therapist, genius, brilliant. She lives in DC. Her husband is 39. And he was just diagnosed with stage 3 pancreatic cancer. And I'm like, I'm sitting here stressed out over a meeting, and this 39-year-old they have two young kids.
Oh, shit.
She had kids late in life. She has like a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old, and they're going to lose their dad. And he's 39, in great shape, doesn't drink, doesn't, like, the pillar of health.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about a stupid meeting. Like, so it's also perspective. Once you start looking at things, and again, a gratitude journal, being grateful for waking up.
Yeah.
You know, being grateful for having our friendship, for, you know, just silly things. It's all about perspective. And, you know, you start thinking about, okay, I'm going to beat myself up and be miserable all day over where I parked my car. And this guy is probably not going to be around in 6 months.
Right.
Like, you've got to start having that perspective.
But here's the thing. And I've done all of that. I go through the whole, like, be happy you have legs that
right.
work. I swear to God, it gets on that level. And I,
as
and
it
I'm told,
should.
But it's, and what I've been told is, like, it's literally a disease. So
it
it's hard to fight. It's not you being ungrateful or something like that. But here's the thing that throws a wrench in that is I go, yeah, you know, I'm so grateful I don't have stage 3 cancer. I'm so grateful I have legs that work. And then I go, wow, I can't even handle this.
Right.
Like, I got no backbone. I got nothing on my side. Like, I got no grit. I can't believe I can't. And then I beat myself up over not even, it's like you normal shame yourself. You're like, I can't even deal with this. And that person is so magnificent.
Right.
Like, I don't, there's this one guy that I follow. His name is like Nick. It's something fucking Italian. The motherfucker has one arm and no legs. And he's just like, he's a bodybuilder.
I've seen him.
Do you know?
Online.
I think he's a local guy.
Amazing.
He has. It looks like a finger.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he gives talks, and he's just like, "I feel bad for you because you have a shitty mindset." And I'm like, "What the? It's like,
right?"
And I'm like, "That guy is doing shit."
Right.
And I'm worried about a parking ticket.
Right.
Like, and then I normal shame myself because I'm like,
well,
"Wow, I can't handle anything."
You brought up a great point. Shame. We all do it.
Yeah.
We're all guilty. I know you've heard of, this is corny, but Brené Brown. She does a TED talk on shame. It's phenomenal. She's a great author too. Really, really talented. You know, that's a never, never, never ending game.
Mm-hmm. It's a losing battle.
It's a losing battle. It's wasted energy. You know, I think that's also goes with, you know, shaming other people for whatever it is. You know, I might think internally, like if somebody's into some weird shit,
like
inside,
what?
And I'm like, that's really weird, but I don't want to make them feel bad about it.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, that's their life and they're choosing it. So
right.
That's not on me, but you got to give yourself the same, you know, break. It's not like you're always going to be struggling. Like, and just, I think also these people that are like, oh, I'm so positive and my life is great. And I try to be like that, but I'm human. I have bad days. I get stressed out, you know, just understanding that everyone's life that you think is great isn't. Everyone's struggling.
Yes.
Everyone has their shit. Everyone has, you know, issues. Everyone's has unhappiness. Everyone has stress. And being able to give yourself a break and realize that it's not the bigger, better deal. Just because these people posted this shit online and, you know, they say, wake up and be positive, you know.
Oh, I don't buy
that
for a second.
Like, you know, just allow yourself to be happy and try to give yourself some breathing room. And it's not an overnight. It's not, you know, you should feel bad because you struggle with it. I think we all do. I think more people are just vocal and have more courage to be vulnerable. And I think that's really showing strength when you're like, yep, I don't have all this worked out. I struggle every day.
That actually makes you more likable, I think, than
without a doubt.
With then people who are like, this is my perfect morning
study
routine.
Show.
Yeah. Yes.
Even
yes.
in leadership, we learn, like, be transparent. Let your team know, like, when you're having a bad day or if you're upset over something, like, don't be a robot. That's a turnoff in any personal, business, you know, professional, whatever. Don't be a robot.
Right.
But give yourself a break.
That is one of the best compliments I get, because I don't get very many from the chat. From the chat, not from you, but I'm saying from the, you know, just the people that listen to the show and essentially pay my paycheck. The one, I wouldn't even call it a compliment, but the one descriptor that they use that I really like is they say I'm really relatable.
Yes. Well,
and
I think that's
like
a huge compliment.
I like that a lot. I really like that, because I don't want, you know, I'm not a model and that's fine. And I don't want anyone to...
You're not trying to be, though. You're not like, flaunting your cervix all over the internet and trying to say, hey, I'm hot.
That's true.
And my God, this is what I do. I'm not hating on people that do that, but
you're not
pretending.
No, but if I can just be like... Because I know how helpful it was when I saw my first OCD commercial. Because before
I went to a doctor for it. I just thought it was, I'm weird.
Yeah.
I'm a weirdo.
Absolutely.
And when I saw like this commercial, and I remember it was like in sepia, you know, it was like in sepia and it like it, the colors, you know what I mean? And it was two guys on a bike and it's like, do you obsessively wash your hands? And I was like,
huh?
And they're like, do you have obsessive thoughts? I was like, what? I was maybe 12 or 13. It's like, do you fucking do this? Do you check the door 1,000 times? Yes. And I remember seeing that and I go, and they go, you may have obsessive compulsive disorder. And I went, holy shit, it's like a thing?
You're like, oh my God, I'm not alone. I'm not crazy.
I just thought it was me. I didn't know that it was a thing. And once I realized it was a thing, that was so helpful and useful that it was now a thing.
That's awesome.
That's like pretty fucking common. I mean,
very.
It's on a spectrum like most things, but... it's a thing. And that was really fucking pivotal. And I remembered that moment for the rest of my life. Now, if someone, you know, if I'm doing weird shit at home and I share that on the air and people go, fuck, I do really weird shit like that at home, you know, and people are like, okay. And just to be open about it. And like you said, transparent about it. I think people like the fact that they can kind of relate to the who you are and that I'm not playing a character on the radio. I'm not, you know, I'm not a top 40 hit right. where it's like, oh my God, yeah. I went to the house screens, like, say where I go, I went to bingo, with my boyfriend.
Oh
I'm
my
like,
God,
fuck.
My girlfriends and I did this.
Yeah,
and...
I'm like, I had an obsessive thought for 20 right. minutes and right. I was, you know, running in circles and touching a door 50 times, you
right.
know?
Right.
That's kind of crazy, but some people can go, fuck, I do that shit too.
I mean, you've got to have these conversations because then, you know, people understand that they're not alone and that you're being real, you're vulnerable, you're expressing yourself, you're not a robot, and hey, this, like it or not, these are my struggles. You know, I want to have fun on the air, I want to, you know, cut up and not take shit too serious, but this is what I struggle with. I mean, I appreciate that.
Yeah, good, good, I'm glad, because that's...
And I think that's a huge compliment, yeah. saying you're relatable. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me... that's attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Very attractive.
Yes, because I'm drawn to people online where like they're relatable or they're kind of like, here's the thing. I can tell the difference between like a feigned flaw. Like when people show like, they're like, oh my God, my nails are like so gross. And they're like not
right.
like that, something that's
right.
benign like that. But when people like really like are very honest about like, how gross they look in the morning before they put on makeup. And I'm like, a girl, thank you for that.
Yeah, because who the fuck wakes up looking like an Instagram
right,
model?
Right, right.
Nobody.
Who wakes up, puts on makeup, and then gets back in bed to be like,
yeah,
ah!
Like, what was that movie, Bridesmaids?
Yeah.
Did you ever see that?
Yes,
where she's like
she gets up early and then, yeah.
And acting, I mean, listen, I'm embarrassed, but I've done that before. When I've like hooked up
really?
Back in the day. Oh my God,
you got
I'm
up
so
early to get ready?
Oh, yeah.
And then
absolutely.
Got back in bed?
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
Just like that movie.
Okay.
And I was with a guy that was just as big of an asshole as that guy.
So you really related to that moment.
Oh my God. Yeah. I've done that so many times.
So many
in
times.
My 20s. And then
yeah.
I hit 30 and then I'm like, wait a minute. This doesn't matter. Like, why in the hell would I give a shit if anyone saw me without makeup?
Uh-huh.
Like, do you know how ridiculous that is? Because you can only put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig. I mean, hey, I'm owning it, right? I'm not, again,
yeah.
not trying to be an Instagram model, but it was so ridiculous that, you know, I finally, and again, I'm not too ashamed to admit, yeah, I've done stupid shit in my 20s, trying to impress people that if they don't like this, then... You know, sorry, I ain't got nothing else for you.
Yeah, it's not worth your time or anything like that.
Yeah,
and,
but
and
I've done that. It's embarrassing.
Of course, of course. And what I've learned, and it's one of those things that you like, you know, but you really don't feel until probably you're a little bit older, but like how sexy confidence is.
Oh.
Even with yourself, and I do it all the time with, you know, faking it till I make it sort of a thing. And I go, Anna, even if you're feeling not confident, like it's gross.
It
so
is.
Just pretend like you are, and then you actually do gain confidence.
Without
like,
a doubt, yeah. you trick yourself.
You do. You
like,
trick yourself.
When I'm giving, like, if I'm giving a lecture or something at a conference, I'm scared as shit to get up in front of a bunch of physicians or CEOs.
Right.
I'm like, you know, fairly new to this game. Like, but they wouldn't know it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm like, oh my God, why the hell would they want to hear from my dumb
right.
ass?
Imposter syndrome.
Yes.
And...
Like, I'm like, oh, you know, everyone goes through it.
Yeah.
And I have a girl, a friend of mine who's very, very, who I'm close with and I'd worked with in the past. And she is so, oh God, what do I want to say? She struggles with confidence, as we all do.
Sure.
But it's to the point, and she's single.
Or it's crippling.
And it's crippling, and it's uncomfortable. And I've had to give, like, little pep talks. Like, we were at a business dinner once, and the guy that we were having dinner with, it was a vendor, and he was very good looking, but just a cool guy, you know, like,
yeah,
just really cool guy, down to earth. And, you know, we're joking. I was bitching about how I got up at 5 and he went to the gym. I'm like, me too. I did legs. And, you know, we're yucking it up. And she's a little overweight and whatever. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's got it going on. But she doesn't know it.
Yeah.
And so we're just kind of yucking it up. And she's like, oh, yeah. And here I am, some big fat blob. You know, she's just constantly taking a shit. And I love self-deprecating humor, first and foremost.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to be hypocritical. Because I really, if I got to laugh
but
at myself.
But it's got to be funny. Like.
Right. And it's got to be, and it's not funny. And it's uncomfortable. And then she's like, you know, men, that you guys just all want tits on a stick and twigs. And, you know, I've gained 30 pounds during COVID. And no guy would want to be with me. And I'm like, yeah, because of the way you act. I said that to her. And so we got in the car. I'm like, don't you realize confidence is the sexiest thing? And, you know, a woman who might not be perfect looking or might not have a beautiful body or whatever, but if she feels good about herself and is having a good time and is a good person and confident, that's way sexier than a dime piece that doesn't have a brain.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't do that. And she's like, well, you self-deprecate. I go, yeah, but it's funny. And I'm laughing. Mm-hmm. You're not laughing.
Right.
And it was uncomfortable. And
I
you could tell.
Do that.
And he was like, they have a history. Like, he really likes her. They've been associates. Like, he really cares about. And you could see, like, he didn't like that. And here, he's like, looks like Bradley Cooper. I'm not joking. And you could tell he was turned off by it.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
Kind of, we're like laughing it off. And I'm like, and he's like, stop. Men don't like that shit.
No, no, not at all. And it was funny because, like, so I went on a date probably about, I don't know, it's been a while, 2.5, 3 months ago, something like that, with a guy. And like, I'm being 100% honest, I was batting out of my league.
I remember you telling me about him.
I was
him.
Fucking, no, I don't think I told you about this one.
The real hot guy?
There was another one.
Okay.
Yeah, this
was
one
this
was
the hot guy you made out with?
Okay, maybe I did tell you.
You did tell
okay,
me.
Okay, maybe I did tell you. So, yeah, so I was patting myself on the back, like, just, like, bagging, just going on
girl,
a date.
Girl, you made out with him.
No, but this is like, when I first saw him, right? So we meet up, and I go, oh, fuck.
You're like, nice.
But I'm like, but then you start to get in your head because then you're like, shit, like, I'm not matching, you know. And I go, hey, and this is when, you know, all the self-development shit, I go, hey, even if you're feeling insecure and you want to, like, be kind of like your friend who's calling herself a blob, or
right,
you're like, yeah, well, I'm not, I don't have this and I don't have that. I go, nobody thinks that's attractive.
Right.
No, that's gross. He's not going to like that. You're not going to like that. I'm like, just fucking act like you're the hottest girl in the room. And I fucking did.
And you and you made out with him.
And that's the end of the story. And he never called me again. Pretty
well,
much.
I mean,
which is fine. It was a great night. I left it at that. It's a great night.
I think
left
he
it
did. I think he did contact you.
He did, but it was like, you know, it fucking bull. He was going through a divorce,
right?
And I'm looking for something,
and he's looking for a piece of ass.
Of course,
and he knew it.
Yes,
I
suspected.
Girl, you scored your confidence. You know, think about how you won that night.
I did. I did. I was just like, listen, but here's the thing. I got exactly what I wanted, right? I didn't go home with him. I wanted things
you
to be a
certain...
No, it certainly could have, but I wanted things to be a certain way and they weren't the way that I wanted them. So you walk away from the situation. You always have the option to walk away.
And I appreciate
unless
that.
Unless you're Gabby Petito. But anyways, that's. Ooh, I know you don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah, but...
It's not that I don't want to talk about it. I just... It's exhausting because of all the speculation.
Right.
And the guy's a scumbag. His parents helped him and it's bullshit.
Mm-hmm. It is. And we're going to have to end it there because I know you got to get going.
Dude.
I got to go get choked out.
That sounds like a good time.
Not by
so you're coming to my house, right?
I know. I wish it was a sexual thing, but I started taking a Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
That's awesome.
So I'm trying to learn something new, which is really fucking cool because I feel like, you know, I don't want to say at my age.
I give you props for doing that, man.
But I feel like something that I've always liked about myself is I've always been willing to try and do new things. And I started noticing... You know, a couple of years ago that you kind of stopped. Kind of when COVID started.
Sure.
I was just like, eh. And you get in your routine and you don't want to do anything that like makes you really uncomfortable. And I go, but, you know, that's where the growth happens on it. You know, I started knocking on my brain and I go, I've been wanting to try this for a while. I've been a pussy about it because I'm going to have to be a fucking beginner. Start from, you know, letter A.
Very humbling.
First step, very humbling experience. And
very vulnerable in front of strangers.
Absolutely.
Where you're getting your ass beat on a mat.
Absolutely. But you know what? I just every time, the first couple times, which were hard. Now it's like I know a face or two and I'm like, hey, what's up?
That's cool.
But the first probably three or four times I was like, you get props for going.
Right.
You
just
don't worry about
the door.
You get props for walking in the door. Don't worry about doing anything. And people know, people are all there to learn.
Right.
And nobody cares about you. Everyone is caring about their own experience.
You just finished my sentence. And everyone was where you were at some point.
Absolutely. And even if they're not, they're just like, I'm worried about my moves and me getting better. I don't give a fuck about this person.
No one's trying to check out your form unless it's your instructor.
Of course. And they're just trying to help you.
Right. I'm so really proud of you.
Thank you.
Yay!
It's been really fun. So hopefully we'll get some footage from that sometime soon.
Hopefully.
And you'll be seeing it on the Bubba Army YouTube channel. But Tara, thank you so much.
Thanks,
and Anna. We'll catch you next time.
Right on.
Bye.